What's up, guys? It's time for another episode of The Sports Wrap with Renee Washington. Thanks for tuning in to join my show this week. Last week, we got into the NFL Combine and free agency with ESPN Titans reporter Teron Davenport. We also talked about Bryce Harper, the Phillies, and Mike Trout with Hunter Brody before Nubri Nye broke it down for us with another one of his latest singles. Well, this week, it's all football. We've got Emory Hunt, founder and analyst at Football Game Plan, an author and college football color analyst joining the show, as well as Kyle Andrews from out of Baltimore, a sports reporter for 105.7 The Fan, and Nubri Nye is going to be singing another song for us this week, so stay tuned for this exciting, or hopefully you think it's exciting, episode of The Sports Wrap. Let's get right into some football talk, because there's been plenty going on around the league with trades and free agency, and we have got to get into it and discuss what's going on, why it's happening, and our thoughts on it. All right, joining us this week on The Sports Wrap, as we get into our NFL discussion, I have Emory Hunt, founder and analyst of the Football Game Plan, color commentator, college football analyst. We also have, from out of Baltimore, Kyle Andrews joining us, sports reporter with 105.7 The Fan. Guys, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining us this week.
Thank you for allowing me to come on. I definitely appreciate
you having me on.
Anytime. All right, let's get right into it. So one of the biggest off-season, quote-unquote, this is still the off-season, and it feels like we're in the middle of the season, biggest move that we saw, Odell Beckham Jr. being traded to the Browns for safety Jabril Peppers, a first-round and third-round 2019 pick. The Browns go from being a team that had a losing streak coming into last season to now with Odell Beckham Jr., you have Baker Mayfield, Kareem Hunt, Jarvis Landry. This is a team that looks like they could be, forget just the top team in the AFC, but a Super Bowl contender. Emory, I'll let you go first. What are your thoughts on this move and the fact that the Giants basically gave OBJ away after saying just a few weeks ago that they were not going to trade him?
It's a tough move because I'm not in the business of giving away game breakers. Good players I can understand, but game breakers are very rare and tough to find. And if you have one, the Giants have two, as well as Saquon Barkley, it's tough to part ways with a guy. I don't care what the compensation is. It just seems, you know, it's just very tough to get rid of a guy that really can help transform your offense. Those type of players are legitimately one play away from scoring a touchdown from anywhere on the field. So it's a puzzling move for the Giants, and for their sake, you hope that it pays off for them positively as opposed to what it looks like right now on paper.
Yeah, definitely. It is a confusing move because, as you mentioned, Saquon and OBJ were the two main players for the Giants, and they're not your average good players. These are next-level players that have the ability to win games for you. So, Kyle, what are your thoughts on why the Giants made this trade in the first place? After we just saw last summer, OBJ was signed to a 5-year extension, and here we are 1 year late, not even a full year later, and he's not even on the team anymore.
Well, I just think it's absolutely insane that they would do something like this. I mean, my biggest thing is that, like Emory said, you know, you don't want to give up game breakers. You don't want to give up those guys that can make explosive plays. And the fact that they did this is nonsensical. And I mean, they only got, everyone always says, well, we had a discussion on our podcast yesterday, is a first, a third, and, you know, Jabril Peppers worth it to trade your best player? And I don't think so. And it's no knock on Jabril Peppers as a player, but Odell Beckham Jr., it could be argued that he's one of the top five players in the NFL, even talent-wise. And, I mean, you just can't. Right. I wouldn't do something. If I'm the GM, I wouldn't do something like that. I don't know what the dynamic is there. It seems like it might be similar to what's going on with, you know, the Steelers in the sense that Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, I mean, they're going to value quarterbacks a little bit more than they're going to value receivers. And we see it here, and now I think it's going to hurt the Giants and the Steelers both.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll get into Antonio Brown a little later, but I have been seeing around, specifically around New York, Twitter is going crazy
I have people that live in New York that say the city is going crazy right now. We saw the Giants try to post on Twitter some welcoming Jabril Peppers videos and pictures and action shots from last year. Nobody wants to hear that right now. You know, fans are like, I don't want you to tweet unless you're apologizing, bring back OBJ. You know, they're done with the Giants Twitter right now. But I also saw on social media, Mark Wahlberg was saying the AFC Championship is now going to be the Patriots versus the Browns next season. And even we saw Juju Schuster, Smith-Schuster weighing in, like, watch out for the Browns. So what are your thoughts? Do you guys think that the Browns have the ability to be a top team in the AFC competing against the Patriots come next postseason?
Oh, man, that's a – oh, go ahead, Emery. My bad.
My fault. It's always a possibility. I mean, I think last year, during the time when you saw the players that the Rams accumulated, you instantly saw on paper, like, hey, they have a lot of talent. This is a team that could go to the Super Bowl. When we look at the Browns are built the same way. This is a team that has a lot of talent. Yeah, there's questions as there are with every football team, but just from a personnel and talent standpoint, yes, you can put them in the mix for a team that can make a run to the Super Bowl.
All right. Do you agree?
I totally agree with that. And, I mean, I got to see it up close and personal last season with the Browns, especially in that last game against the Ravens. And then, you know, they only came just a couple – I mean, a missed throw by Baker Mayfield away from being 8-8 last season. And obviously that's a huge improvement. That 7-9 record isn't anything to sneeze at after they were 0-16, and they just completely turned the lifeblood of the franchise around. I mean, they drafted really well. They acquired picks. They did all these things that, you know, you only see in basketball. Like, I mean, they in baseball as well with these prospects, they just continued to keep drafting guys, making the team a little bit better, playing money ball for a while, and then all of a sudden now, when you have everything together, you have this quarterback in Baker Mayfield that's a stud who is highly talented. You have Jarvis Landry, who's a very good receiver. Then now you have Odell Beckham Jr., and then you have Nick Chubb. And I understand, you know, we can say what we want about Kareem Hunt off the field, but on the field he is a very good football right. player. So, I mean, it's just – it's an entire – 180 off of what they used to be. And it's interesting to see just in general.
Yeah, I definitely think it's crazy that this was a team that was 0-16 and we were talking about them having a losing streak and when will they win to now being a team that could be one of the best in the league, at least on paper right now they are. And not to mention this is a young team. I mean, these guys that you're mentioning, Baker Mayfield, OBJ, obviously they're still in their 20s. They still have a lot of football left to play in their careers. These aren't guys in their 30s like the Eagles picking up with Deshaun Jackson that are on the downslip of their career. But let's get into the Steelers a little bit because they have also been doing a lot and it's been confusing to some people. And I want to know what you guys think about the Steelers news, starting with Antonio Brown being traded to the Raiders. And then we also saw a couple days later, now Le'Veon Bell has signed with the Jets. But do you think that, and this is something I heard, do you think that Brown almost, he won? He got what he wanted, you know, he got a much better contract with the Raiders than what he was going to get with the Steelers after asking for more money, more guaranteed money. And he now gets a $30 million guaranteed 3-year deal. Did he win in this deal, or is it Pittsburgh's way of saying, we're not putting up with this, we're getting rid of you?
Well, I mean, I think right now, specifically, it's one of those situations where I feel like it was more beneficial towards Brown than it was anybody else. I feel like the Steelers got fleeced on this deal. I feel like Brown fleeced them. And, I mean, and it's all fair. It's a business, but it's also a situation where I feel like Ben Roethlisberger, everything that you've seen out in the open, he doesn't take accountability for any of the actions that he has himself. some of the poor throws that he's made in the past. I think the Jaguars game was a perfect example of that, where he just threw a pick. And I mean, he came back and made some plays, but the issue is that he wasn't consistent early on in the season. It took receivers to bail him out to make him a better quarterback. And I just feel like he never takes accountability for the things that goes on in the locker room, especially himself. You know, if he's the main cause of it, you know, and he had his issues before. And I don't understand why the Steelers keep enabling Ben Roethlisberger to allow, you know, their best. I think, honestly, Antonio Brown was their best player, if not Le'Veon Bell. He drove out Antonio Brown. So I just feel like that needs to be said. And Antonio Brown got the most out of this deal by going to the Raiders. Yes, he's not going to a team that is about to contend immediately. But the thing is, they have so many picks that they could change things around just like the Browns did previously.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I think when you look at, you know, I think he won, you know, the whole deal, because he went from zero guaranteed money to $30 million guaranteed money. That's always a win. So anytime you get guaranteed money in your hands as a football player, you know, you always have to take that. And people want to talk about legacy and all that stuff like that. People are going to remember how they want to be remembered anyway. And history tends to shine positively on a lot of people, so especially in sports. So, I mean, nostalgia is a great thing. And it doesn't matter. His numbers will be what they are. You're going to have to respect that. But from a financial standpoint, he definitely won the battle because he got $30 million guaranteed when he had zero.
Right. That's true. And I actually was watching First Take, and I heard a perspective that I wasn't really even thinking about when Stephen A. Smith was saying he feels like A.B. hoodwinked the Steelers. Like his plan, and he even mentioned that Ben might have been in on it too, but that was just Stephen A. being Stephen A. I don't know about all that. But saying he basically, you know, they basically gave away their top receiver, and he did all this fussing and all this complaining, and he still is AB. We saw him showing up late to the Raiders press conference, his very first one, doing like he does. But more importantly, he wanted more money, and he got guaranteed money. You know, at the end of the day, that's what he was complaining about. He had, I think it was 3 years left in his contract. He didn't have that guaranteed money. Now he does. So I don't know if that's the case, but what do you think the Steelers are going to be doing moving forward? Because we have seen a lot of issues in the locker room surrounding Big Ben, surrounding team off-the-field issues. These are grown men at the end of the day. You would think these issues don't carry on the field, but they are. The Steelers have been a team that gets to the postseason and doesn't perform like they should every season. Do you think there's a chance that now behind these two, being Le'Veon's officially gone, we know he sat out last season, but he's definitely not coming back now. AB is gone. What is going on in Pittsburgh?
Oh, that is probably one of the toughest questions. I mean, honestly, I just think it's a pitfall. Like, I mean, it's just they're dropping into an abyss right now. And I know that's the easiest thing to say, but, you know, Kevin Colbert allowed this to happen. He really did. I mean, he enabled Big Ben to do what he wanted to do. And he's an aging quarterback. He whines about, you know, third-round picks coming in and being drafted, whereas on the other hand, down in Baltimore where I'm at, Joe Flacco took it with grace that Lamar Jackson ended up taking his spot, which, you know, was a hard situation. And they drafted a quarterback in the first round. Whereas, like, I don't understand why Ben Roethlisberger is so upset about this situation when Joshua Dobbs was drafted in a similar situation. I don't get what his issue is. They haven't drafted a first round quarterback, and not only that, but yes, he wanted an extra weapon. So what? The Steelers need to do what's best for them. And I think that the Roonies need to somehow get involved in this and get rid of Kevin Colbert at this point, because what he's doing is that he's allowing, and maybe they might be in on it, maybe they might be allowing Ben Roethlisberger to kind of run this show, just like how I feel like the Maras are allowing Eli Manning to run the show. And you can't let an aging quarterback run an organization. You just can't do it. This is exactly why the Steelers are going to be in a decline, because if you cave into Ben Roethlisberger's demand, what are you going to have to show for it when you don't have anybody, you know, backing him up that's capable? So, we'll honestly see what happens. I think Mason Rudolph's a good player, and I think he has talent. I also feel like Dobbs has talent, too. But I just feel like, you know, they're rushing. I feel like they want one of those guys to succeed so badly so that they can get out of this situation that they're in with Ben Roethlisberger. It's like a 50-50 split from what I've seen.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I look at what you said and just echo those sentiments. You can't allow someone to hold your franchise hostage. And, you know, Ben Roethlisberger is a good player, Hall of Fame player, and the Steelers do a great job of replenishing talent. So you don't have to worry about them ever going, especially as long as Mike Tomlin there, who's never had a losing season in 13, 12 years. So you don't have to worry about the team being dirt terrible. They just have to make sure they don't miss opportunities to keep this train rolling by putting all our eggs in one player basket. And I've always said this in a selfless way, no one player is that good. We've seen Joe Montana get traded. We've seen Steve Young get pushed out the door. We've seen Brett Favre get moved on from. So, again, no one player is that good. You just have to make sure you're doing right by your franchise in the draft to keep this thing rolling. And for the most part, the Steelers really have. You don't ever remember the Steelers being terrible, especially on the time that they haven't been terrible. And I could say the same thing for a team like Dallas or even Baltimore. You know,
right.
They just do a good job of replenishing the talent to where every year you think at least this team can go 8-8. And that's what we've seen from Pittsburgh. And they can't break that formula up by hitching their wagon to one guy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, there have been a lot of other changes, obviously, around the league. We saw Nick Foles. As an Eagles fan, that was hard to watch. He's officially a Jaguar. But I did get Deshaun Jackson back. D-Jack is back in Philly and returned to the Eagles. And then also, I know, Kyle, I'm sure you've been itching to talk about the Ravens. Joe Flacco was traded to Denver. C.J. Mosley signed a deal with the Jets. Terrell Suggs to the Cardinals. But you guys did get some good pickups with Mark Ingram and obviously bringing in Earl Thomas. So do you feel like the Ravens, I mean, we even mentioned earlier Lamar Jackson as quarterback, a nice young quarterback that had a tremendous season. Are the Ravens going to be able to turn a corner this season too? What are your thoughts as a Baltimore fan?
Well, from my perspective, I think that they still need to add talent at receiver. And, I mean, they stripped that down by allowing John Brown to walk and allowing Michael Crabtree to walk. They do have some continuity with Willie Snead at receiver and Chris Moore, but, you know, Willie Snead was more of a slot guy. He's very talented, don't get me wrong. I feel like Willie Snead's a very good player. It's just that he's a complementary guy to, you know, two outside guys. You still need an X receiver, and you still need a Z receiver. And right now the Ravens don't really have either one that is a definitive guy. So I still think they need to draft some receivers. They have a whole – I mean, I feel like a massive hole at center. And I understand that some people like the way that Matt Skura played. He was, I guess he was around league average, him and James Hurst at center, or so they say per PFF. But I don't necessarily agree with that, because some of the big plays that were made through the middle. And so many rushes came up the middle, and then Lamar Jackson didn't have much time to throw. Joe Flacco didn't have much time to throw. And I don't feel like they can continually succeed when they have a center and guards. I mean, their left guards, whether it be Alex Lewis or James Hurst, I don't think that either one of them are NFL starting left guards right now. Same goes for Skura at center. And, I mean, he played okay at certain points, but other times he was just manhandled, and they can't allow for that to happen. So I feel like those are the biggest holes on offense. Now, on defense, obviously, they filled a huge hole at free safety by signing Earl Thomas. I think that was a very smart move on Eric DaCosta's part. And it was a move that was unexpected because, I mean, we talked about yesterday, I'm not entirely sure if it was in a group chat or not, but we saw that Earl Thomas was linked to the Browns because, guess what, they lost Jabril Peppers in that trade, so maybe he might be going to the Browns, but he didn't go there. He came to the division rival Ravens, which I feel like is a great fit, especially considering now you're going to need a better secondary going up against Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. And then you still have Juju Smith-Schuster with the Steelers, and then you have A.J. Green. So I feel like this is a typical Baltimore Ravens move where they get one of the best safeties that they possibly can get. And the funny thing is, this is a little small tidbit, but like Ravens have had four great safeties that I can think of during their history: Rod Woodson, Ed Reed, Eric Weddle, and now Earl Thomas. But with that being said, they had the three E's, so maybe the Ravens should just continue this trend of getting safeties that a name E or start with the letter E. So, but when it comes to this middle linebacker, I mean, it's just they need to figure out what they're going to do. I think Devin White would be a really good fit right there if he were to fall to Baltimore. I don't think he'll fall that far. He's just too talented. Devin Bush is also a fit if they were to trade back. I don't necessarily think he'll, you know, it's something that you would do at 22, but maybe if you decide, okay, we're going to fall back a little bit, that would be a good fit. Pass rush, I think that they can find pass rushers in a later round. They've done it before with Matt Judon, and then they also did it with Za'Darius Smith before he left. So they can do that again. They have a formula for success when it comes to, you know, middle linebackers and finding outside linebackers and defensive linemen. Anything in the front seven, I feel like the Ravens can find. It's just the biggest worry is secondary, and they've already gotten that fixed.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Emery.
One guy to keep an eye on, I thought had a really fantastic rookie year that could probably serve that Mike backer. Nowadays, he kind of split hairs with the way these offenses run and, you know, designating the weak side Mike backer. I kind of like Kenny Young, you know. I was real high on him coming out of UCLA. He played really well, in my opinion, for Baltimore. And you're right, I agree with you. I would never worry about Baltimore finding defense. If there's any position that they've shown they haven't been able to find, it's receivers. And this has been since Ben. So I hope they can find some talent to build around Lamar Jackson and stockpile those receiving options. I do like how Quincy Adebojo runs routes, but he's more of an inside guy, and you're right. They need someone that's a bona fide X split in. On the interior, you bring up a fantastic point. So that puts that number one pick in question. Man, can they go Chris Lindstrom out of Boston College, who's by far the best guard in this class? Can they go Garrett Bradbury, who's by far the best center, and take their chances? Do we trust them going receiver in the first round, or do we trust them going receiver in other rounds and securing the best interior offensive lineman for the guard or center in that draft? So I think they're fine in certain spots. Defense, I would never worry about Baltimore. Like you said, they got a formula. Offensively, there are some key pieces that they have to find. One, not being tackled and tight end, they should be straight there in the backfield. But we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see how they build around Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, if I'm anyone in the front office, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Because you see LeBron Jackson, I mean, even without having as much time in the pocket, you could see he has the makings of a really good quarterback as he develops and gets, you know, even more mature, more experienced. So that has to be the next question. But let's get into another quarterback, because I am an Eagles fan, and I wanted to know you guys' take on the Eagles right now. Carson Wentz, we've seen the last two seasons. He has been, I mean, this past season he struggled with injuries. The year before that, having a tremendous, magical season, leading the Eagles as they won the Super Bowl that year. But he, of course, was not on the field in the playoffs as they won the Super Bowl that year. And Nick Foles was the one that carried them there. But now that St. Nick is gone, and Carson Wentz is the go-to quarterback. Bring him back to Sean Jackson. They've got Nelson Aguilar. What do you think the Eagles need? I mean, I have my own opinions, but I'll get yours first. What do you think the Eagles' needs are for building around Carson Wentz so that, well, I won't say too much. What do you think the Eagles' needs are to build around Carson Wentz and to be able to be a team that can make a run in the playoffs and hopefully win another Super Bowl?
I mean, I think personally, if they want to build around Carson Wentz, they have to try to, you know, do the same thing that they did with Nick Foles. And I feel like it's more or less the play calling and then getting a running game involved. You want to get a strong running game for Carson Wentz and take some of the pressure off of him, especially when he's been injured. And I feel like so many times with the Eagles, they've gotten wrapped up with the fact that Carson Wentz is such a talented passer that they don't allow the running game to kind of develop. And I think you need strong offensive linemen. You know, you want to continue to keep adding on the O-line. You want to be able to, I guess, add at running back as well. Get those guys, get a more powerful runner, a guy that's going to go downhill, but also another guy that can cut, just especially since you're in a West Coast offense like Doug Peterson's. And so it's just one of those situations where I think just establish a running game, surround Carson Wentz with that kind of talent so that your offense can be a little bit more unpredictable than, you know, just dropping back and throwing the ball 40 times a game.
Yeah, I think he needs, one, to stay healthy, and two, I think they've done – it's been so many moving parts around that offense. You have to look at the common denominator, and that's Carson Wentz. He just has to bring a level of consistency to his game, and I think that showed itself last year. I know people are going to blame the back and the knee recovery. I get that, and that's fair. But he has to stay healthy, number one, and they have to get dynamic in the backfield. They have a bunch of guys, to me, that do a lot of the same thing, but they don't have that one difference maker. If they can get a difference maker, it really expands what they want to do offensively. And I like the receiving core. I love the depth there. They've done a great job in developing guys, too. They got great tight end depth. Defensively, they'll be fine. That's another team where I can trust them to be solid defensively. I think Carson Wentz just has to stay healthy, and they have to find a bell cow in the backfield. And when I say bell cow, a guy that you don't really have to take off the field, that can do more than one thing. Because I think right now they're trying to do this, a committee approach. But if your committee is all of guys that are very similar, then it's still counterproductive. So they got to find a true RB1 to really take this offense to the next level.
Yeah, I definitely think we saw defensively that they, you know, there were stretches where their defense is on the field without a long break at all and were able to still be solid and still, get the job done. The O-line definitely is the question mark for me. Carson Wentz, of course, him as well as other players we saw last year, Jason Peters, Jason Kelce, Darren Sproles, they've had a history of injuries, but still been able to be a good top team in the league. So it's just a matter of, and you both make good points, you know, offensively, what can they do to adjust to be more dangerous and to be more dynamic, I guess you can say. It is very predictable. And I think that's what Nick Foles brought to the offense was he was able to see the field better than I think Carson does. Carson tends to try to run more. Nick did not try to run at all, never has, never will. And he was able to find his receivers down the field. But I'm going to put you guys on the spot a little bit here. I'm going to ask each of you to give me, as of today, in March, with the of course, you don't know who's going to be drafted. I know you both have been following the combine and the different draft prospects coming into the league. But without knowing who's going to be drafted to which team, looking at the rosters as they are today, who are your top two teams for next season? They could be in the same division. We won't even say, like, who's going to be in the Super Bowl. But who do you think are going to be your top two teams? And I'm going to pick Emery to go first. You're up. Top two and why?
Right now, I probably would say New England and also, I choose the NFC team. I would probably say the Rams again. The Rams just have
talent.
And when you have talent, talent always wins at the end of the day. unless you're the New England Patriots, because you look at their roster from top to bottom, you say, how does this team win 10 games? But they finally did. They don't have talent, but they got the best coach. So coaching is key. Talent is key. I think, you know, right now, because it's so early, I would have to say New England and Los Angeles.
Interesting. The two teams that were in the Super Bowl. Okay. So, Kyle, who do you have? What's your thoughts?
That's the thing. I'm so split on who I think the top two teams are right now, because I feel like it's some teams that haven't done anything this offseason that have been like, they haven't done really splashy moves. Like, I still look at the Chargers as a team that could possibly be that, but I don't necessarily think they're a top two team. And then you also have a team like even Dallas is in the top, in my top 10. But I know you want your top two, and I'm going to stop beating around the bush. And I think that the Patriots are still that number one team, in my opinion, right now. I mean, if you have Bill Belichick as your head coach and Tom Brady, arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, on your team, and you have all these players that have played, been there, been to multiple Super Bowls, won multiple Super Bowls, you just got to give them their credit. They deserve to be the number one team. As for number two, that's a huge toss-up right now, because I think what the Browns just did may honestly get them to jump up to there. I mean, but then again, I think I look at the Chiefs, I'm like, well, you know what? The Chiefs added Tyrann Mathieu, and they got younger, and I understand how many people are fond of Eric Berry, but I feel like Tyrann Mathieu at this point in his career is an upgrade over Eric Berry. He's younger, he's quicker, he gets to those spaces a lot better than Eric Berry would just after all the injuries and all the, you know, things that he's had to overcome. So I feel like the Chiefs, they're my number two team. I know that it was really easy to go to the Rams too. I think the Rams are a very good team, but the reason why I think the Chiefs are a better team is just because they have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, and they have Tyreek Hill, and they have Travis Kelce. I mean, those three are a monster trio, so that's why I'm going with them as my number two.
Yeah, the Chiefs and the Rams definitely both have, I mean, and two good quarterbacks with Goff and Mahomes. Sean McVay obviously being a very good coach. Dick Redwood, Kansas City, is a good coach, but until certain moments, and I still think that he's going to only be able to get this team so far, just because he talked about Bill Belichick being a top coach and being one that can put the Patriots over the hump. I don't know that Andy Reid is the coach that can lead a team to a Super Bowl, but there are some teams that have, in my opinion, haven't really made, again, it's still early, of course. There's still time. But there are some teams that, in my opinion, haven't made as many moves or haven't made moves that seem to make sense. Do you guys have any teams that you look at right now and say, you know, what are you waiting for? What are you doing? And why haven't you picked up some of the, you know, a free agent or looked to make a trade for someone? Dallas is the team that comes to mind for me. But are there any others that you guys have that you've been keeping an eye on and surprised by?
I'll start with the Bengals. Why on God's green earth did you re-sign Bobby Hart? Bobby Hart was horrendous. And, I mean, that just goes – it's mind-boggling. The Bengals, they take one step forward with getting rid of Marvin Lewis, and they take another step forward by, you know, getting – I guess just getting such a young coach, and then they take like 15 steps back by re-signing one of the worst tackles in the NFL. I mean, he just wasn't good. It just doesn't make any. It's mind-boggling, and I'm like, Bengals fans have to be with it, but I guess they're used to it now.
Not to cut you off, but the news that's been going around since it broke that he is going to be re-signing a deal with the Bengals, I just almost feel bad because everybody's thinking the same thing, and he's, like, trying to stay professional. Like, you know, at the end of the day, it's my job to get things done, and I got to do, you know, what I got to do. He's saying all the politically correct answers, but you get the criticism. I mean, he can only do one of two things. Either you take the criticism and you get better and you start being a better tackle, or you take the criticism and you don't change anything. But that is definitely one move that kind of made me raise an eyebrow. Emery, do you have one that you sold? Very questionable, very questionable.
Yeah, for me, it's the New Orleans Saints. And, you know, I know they've done a lot of magic with their cap situation. They seem to always be in cap trouble because of Drew Brees' annual $75 million contract per year that they seem to pay him constantly. It seems like every 2 years he's getting a new deal. I think because of that, they've made some questionable decisions, like last year going trading their first round pick for Marcus Davenport, who didn't really make an impact. And this year, this offseason, you let Mark Ingram walk and you bring in Latavius Murray. I would rather you just draft a guy as opposed to going signing someone that you know isn't better than guys on your roster. So,
right.
So especially when you let one walk out the door in Mark Ingram. So that was the biggest questionable move for me. Was them just not being able to sign Ingram and then go ahead and sign Latavius Murray, who is average, to put it nicely. And average doesn't mean bad, it's just that there's 75 Latavius Murrays out there. So did you really get better in that regard?
Right. And that's been the biggest thing that's been consistently an issue for me with a lot of these moves is, you look at the Giants for what they traded for OBJ. You look at what the Steelers traded Antonio Brown for, Mark Ingram being another one. What is up with teams just letting these guys walk? And these aren't, you know, your average players that, you know, are just role players that'll, you know, get a couple carries each catch. These are players that are winning games for you that are, you know, OBJ is one of the top receivers in the league. How do you let these guys go without getting something for them? It's disrespectful. But then I'm also wondering, are you trying to say that their off the field or personality traits or whatever else is just so negative to your team that you're willing to let them go for nothing? There's no way a Drew Brees or, you know, some of these quarterbacks that we're talking about, there's no way these teams would let them go for nothing.
Yeah, it's comical. I mean, well, I feel like it's okay. Like, if this is a situation where a receiver was just causing a bunch of issues, like, let's say, you know, it's funny when the shoe's on the other side. If a quarterback causes all these issues, like you said, they never held accountable. I mean, unless it's in the case of other people, I'm not entirely sure what's going on, but, like, I don't understand why Ben Roethlisberger isn't being held accountable. He wasn't that good last season. You have Eli Manning, who wasn't good last season. And these quarterbacks have been bad. And now you have receivers that are way more talented, guys that are passionate about the game, guys that are hard workers. Nobody's ever said Antonio Brown's not a hard worker. Everything that's ever – I mean, he was a fifth-round pick that
right.
continued to keep working hard, if I'm not mistaken, fifth or sixth. But, you know, it just boggles my mind that these two got Odell Beckham Jr. and Antonio Brown are considered cancer to the locker room. And it's been like that since T.O. as well. I mean, look at T.O. T.O. worked his butt off. But guess what? Donovan McNabb was throwing up in the huddle. Was he ever held accountable? No. You know, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. They'll give preferential treatment to the quarterback 9 times out of 10 unless he's terrible. You know, if it was a situation, and even then, okay, Eli Manning, I mean, he's getting away with highway robbery. I just don't understand you know, and maybe they get Dwayne Haskins in a draft and then they tell Eli to sit. But even then, wouldn't you have wanted to pair Haskins up with Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley so you could have your own form of the triplets? But, you know, enough about that, I guess.
I don't get it. I mean, that's the thing. It's these quarterbacks, I mean, Big Ben is literally the coach in the locker room. He's doing what he wants to do, you know, and there have been several incidents and issues that have come out going on in the locker room, off the field. And regardless what these players, I mean, as you mentioned, these aren't guys that are, I mean, OBJ's been one that's been in the news a little more for doing young, immature things, but these aren't bad guys. You know, they could be doing way worse. And to see how talented they are and how these teams are so ready to just, you know, it's the quarterback team, essentially. If the receiver doesn't fit in with the quarterback, the receiver goes. And Eli Manning's definitely a good example of that, because he right now is still in the league based on his name and his past history. He's not the same Eli Manning. Not that he was ever Peyton Manning, but he's not the same Eli Manning. Yet he's still on the Giants, and OBJ is gone. Emery, do you have any thoughts on this too?
Well, it's just unfortunate because, you know, you're right. Why wouldn't you want to pair a young phenom quarterback with young phenom talent? That was the whole purpose of being in position to pair up your young receiver, young running back, and young quarterback to grow old together. I just these are people that are getting paid a lot of money to make these decisions. And if, to put it simply, building a football team ain't that hard. Like, talent is talent. Mm-hmm. You could easily flip your team around in a year with one good draft class. So I think that if they don't come away with Haskins and come away with a very good young receiver to bring along as well, he won't be Odell Beckham, but you can still supplement a guy that can be a playmaker. And it's all for naught. So you can't, I just worry about the Giants situation because of the moves they've made leading up to this point.
Yeah, I guess that's the next biggest question is just, what are these teams going to do now? If you're the Steelers, if you're the Giants, you know, what's next, you know, for your team to show that you made these trades, you made these offseason changes, and it's going to make sense in the end? Because right now some of the moves, and more than just the Steelers and the Giants, but of course these are just the two biggest ones that are the most obvious and blatant. What else are you going to do that makes this team's move make sense? But guys, thank you so much for joining me on the Sports Wrap. How about you tell everyone where they can find you, let listeners know your handles on social media, because you're both doing great things in football and all sports to really keep up with the latest stories, news, interviews, out at Combine, getting breaking stories. So, Kyle, Emery, where can we find you guys on social media?
Well, you can find me at KyleJAndrews_ on Twitter. I also have a podcast called Offside Position, and that's Offside Position on Twitter. We just talk about a bunch of different sports every day. I mean, or every week. We actually recorded our last episode, episode that just passed yesterday, and posted it today on Thursday. So just give that a listen if you can, and that's about it for me.
Very nice. Emery, what's your social media handle? Where can you find you?
You can follow me on Twitter at FBallGamePlan, and be sure to subscribe to the Football Game Plan Network located at youtube.com/FootballGamePlan. That's where they can find all of our updated video content, NFL draft content, and now we're on the pro day circuit, so they'll see all those interviews and content coming down the pike. So FBallGamePlan on Twitter, FootballGamePlan.com is a website, and youtube.com/FootballGamePlan is where you can get all our video content.
I love it. You guys are both out there working, and listeners, you definitely want to tune in to the Football Game Plan, and you definitely want to tune in to see everything going on down in Baltimore with Kyle Andrews and Emery Hunt. Kyle Andrews, thank you both so much for joining us this week on the Sports Wrap.
All right, y'all. We could talk NFL all day long. There are not enough hours in the show for us to really get into all the nitty-gritty. Yes, the nitty gritty. But I hope you enjoyed our football talk with Emery Hunt and Kyle Andrews. Be sure to follow them on social media. And there is no halftime this episode. That's it. We've got NFL and we've got New Breed Nye. So let's get right into it. It's Trapped in Love with New Breed Nye from out of Atlanta, Georgia, bringing us another hit song. Check it out.
Work by the day.
Speakers strain.
And I leave love by night. I need the flows too. My wife is bad. I know that she shine like a Rolex.
Girl, you shine so damn bright. I swear to God.
She my little shooter. She keep a little nine when she toting.
Okay.
I speed it up, speed it up, speed it up. I go fast.
I do.
Eat it up, eat it up, eat it up, she like that.
Like whatever you
left. I put her back in the place now. We switching lanes in the race now. I'm down and it ain't no takeout. You like to play when we play house. You a dying beast, that's a fact. When I swipe right, that's a match. I made a choice to make you my choice. Expressing my vocal and love in my voice. Trap by the day, need love by the night. Trap by the day, need love by the night. I trap by the day, need love by the night. Oh, ho, 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 ho. I'm trapped, trapped, trapped in love. I'm trapped, trapped, trapped in love. Some days I just trap, some days I need love. Some days I just trap, some days I need love. I'm trapped. The smell of a follicles. I just wanna lean with it and rock with you. Will you hold me like your new pocketbooks? Heard your name is Kim, so it's just possible that I can have you and cherish and love you and do all the things that be doing the most. I gave her effort, she said them four letters. They saying that I know, man, we doing the tools. Found me a pocket, it came with some gossip, and they were shouting words like they was prophets. And you can't find the time, I had a time to find. I can't even tickle the talk with it. Now I'm on top with you, who? Holding the block with you, who? Now that they hating, I know that they watching, I know that they sitting and plotting on. Trapped by the day, need love by the night. Trapped by the day, need love by the night. I trapped by the day, need love by the night. Oh, ho, 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 ho. I'm trapped, trapped, trapped in love. I'm trapped, trapped, trapped in love. Some days I just trap, some days I need love. Some days I just trap, some days I need love. I'm trapped, trapped, trapped in love. I'm trapped, trapped, trapped in love. Some days I just trap, some days I need love, some days I just trap, some days I need love.
I trap by the day, need love by the night. You guys know I trap, trap, trap in love. I'm trapped, trap, trap in love. That's my rap version. That's why I leave all the singing up to New Breed Nye. That's why, right there. And I have a little cold, so that's the real reason why I can't sing like New Breed Nye. But anyways, thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of The Sports Wrap. As always, we are bringing out a new episode every week. The last 2 weeks have not been on Thursdays, but you guys are still tuning in anyways, so I appreciate y'all. And we are discussing everything from the courts, the field, and in between. You know the deal. You already know. And thank you to Emery Hunt and Kyle Andrews for joining the show to discuss the NFL. For New Breed Nye out of Atlanta, Georgia, you guys can follow him on social media too, at New Breed Nye, N-Y-E Nye. And make sure that you guys are just staying up to date through the week. And you know I'll always be dropping some of the latest sports news for you too. So thank you again for tuning in. I'll see you guys next week. Adios.